Well, as Charmaine said, we're in the final chapter of this great letter written by the Apostle Paul to a church leader in the island of Crete. Paul had left Titus behind in Crete, and it was his job to organise the church, the believers, to appoint leaders. And on his return, Paul writes to Titus, and he reminds him of the teaching he'll need to remember as he leads this church, this exciting but challenging task. And in the letter, Paul teaches Titus to teach those early Christians to live lives that are in contrast to the natural Cretan way. A reminder that their lives as Christians should be distinctive, to live different lives. Last week, Rob Turner helped us see how this teaching related to younger men, younger women, older men and older women. In chapter 2, we also touched last week on the teaching for masters and slaves. And it's that Paul goes into some more detail in chapter 3. As said, this letter is an example, or the example of this letter is the focus really of a new Christian community. But the teaching in its broad scale is relevant to the Christian's general attitude towards those in authority over them. So the teaching is for us as Christians, for Christians and their attitude towards people in authority over them. That might include the government, it might include church leaders. But what's been exciting to see as I've studied this is how it speaks directly into the workplace in 2008, directly into our attitude towards our bosses. In Titus 3, Paul focuses on two types of behaviour towards those in authority over us. It's pretty simple, even I can get my head around this. Two types of behaviour: the right way to behave towards those in authority and the wrong way to behave towards those in authority over us. And it's those two ways of behaving that I want to look at this lunchtime. It's what I think we've got time to look at, so we'll predominantly be spending our time in verses 1 to 8 of chapter 3. And the chapter opens with, and we start Paul's teaching on the right way to behave. You'll see that in verses 1 and 2. The teaching is really clear. Paul urges Titus to create an environment where Christians in this community accept being subject to authority, are obedient, do not slander, are peaceable, are considerate, and show true humility towards all men. Well, I have to say, those things don't really sum up most of the offices I've ever worked in. Perhaps, and I hope they do, yours. But I'm guessing that for most people, this list may appear to be slightly unrealistic, may appear to be wishful thinking. We may have been lucky enough to experience a couple of those qualities in our working environment, but I wonder really whether all of those things combined really define the culture you work in. Do these things define the culture you work in? Isn't somewhere or something nearer the pieces of advice you're given when you start in a new job or you start in a new department? Heard any of these? In this place, you'll have to look out for number one, because no one else will. You better watch your back. Don't get on the wrong side of X. You have to be or do X to get on in this place. Don't those things better sum up the types of environment that we're often working in? And it doesn't really matter what sector we're working in. One person writing about the difference between the private sector and the public sector said this: we all know that the private sector is a dog-eat-dog world. When you look at the public sector, you realise it's just the other way round. Well, that leads us straight on to the way not to behave. Look down, read that verse 3 with me. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Strong words, aren't they? Disobedient. Are you aware of those times that you spend a fair bit of your activity dissecting the performance of your boss? In the past, I have happily spent many hours agreeing with others, noting the shortcomings of a particular boss. In fact, I've usually had the opportunity to add in a few of my own. Enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. Well, that covers everything from greed, resentment, jealousy, lust? Have you experienced something of that in your working environment? Ever been aware of some of those emotions? You see, as I look at my working life to date, I feel pretty much that I've failed at managing up well. You know, actually, if I'm really honest, the second type of behaviour, these ways not to behave, better sum up really my general attitude towards those in authority. Look at the rest of verse 3 with me. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. What a picture. But look, it's a picture of the natural Cretan state. It's actually a picture of our natural human state. Strong words, our lives enslaved by malice, envy, hatred. Well, actually, it's understandable, isn't it? When we consider the ways that sometimes we're treated at work. Did you see the story last year about the example of an entire company, everyone in a company being fired over mobile phone text message? Well, that example may be shocking, but I guess most of us have been at the receiving end of some pretty poor treatment by a boss. I mean, statistics would say that we have credit that's due to you being taken by them. Ever experienced that? Jobs seem to be given to their friends or people they get on well with. Ever seen any of that? Well, you'll have your own examples of ways that you've been poorly treated by a boss. It's worth saying at this point that Paul doesn't seem to be saying that those in authority will always be right or in a worldly way deserving of our respect. In fact, we heard last week that he felt it necessary to remind older men to be deserving of respect. Now, Paul doesn't encourage good behaviour towards those in authority because of their behaviour, but it seems in spite of their behaviour. Those in authority, like everyone, are fallible. But when they let us down, we feel it very personally. Well, it's a rich mix, isn't it? The way we're treated and the justice we want, we demand, are coupled with our envy, our desires, all taking control, dictating our words, our actions, our natural state, to be enslaved to this type of behaviour, to be enslaved to it for the rest of our working lives. Well, no wonder office politics and work relationships can sometimes cause such stress and distress in our lives. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, should we, when we look at Paul's assessment of this situation. And it's into all of that that Paul reminds the Christians to do good. And it seems to be totally radical, doesn't it? Encouraging people to be subject to authority, to be obedient, not to slander, to be peaceable, to be considerate, to be humble. It's a challenge that comes all the way down the centuries, directly into our working lives. Certainly I felt a challenge to my working life. Sounds an exhausting struggle, doesn't it? I wonder if the same thing flashed across your mind as David read out the passage. Well, Paul hasn't had some of the bosses I've had. How easy for him to say. Perhaps you were thinking, more alarmingly, well, Paul hasn't got the boss that I've got at the moment. Easy for him to write these things. Well, the solution to have a good attitude towards our bosses isn't to recognise that our boss is brilliant, or that they deserve it, or because we should just try a bit harder to bite our tongue. The solution is far more amazing, far more explosive than that. Paul explains how the seemingly impossible is made possible. It's something you won't find in Roseanne Badowski's book. I wonder if you've spotted the beginning of the answer. It's in one word, in verse 4. When reading one of Paul's letters, it's great to look out for the word but. And you'll see it there at the beginning of verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God, our Saviour, appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Our default state, because of our sinful nature, is that second list, the way not to behave. But God saved us. And the word that sums it up is grace. Unearned, undeserved, but freely given. As Christians, it's that life-saving gift of grace that has been given to us. But it follows, doesn't it, that we are encouraged to show that grace to others. We're people that know about grace. And that includes our boss. Read on in verse 5. He saved us through the washing and rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Our natural state to be enslaved, resentful, envious, full of pride. But we became account holders in God's bank of grace, able to pay out because what has been paid in. It sums up brilliantly in the hymn. Take those sheets away and in a quiet moment or a moment on the tube, read the theology of that hymn. It's brilliant. But it talks about this. So are you getting the logic of Paul's argument? It is the solution to making us masters of managing up. Do you want to be a master of managing up? I do. And it's becoming a master of managing up the way that God designed. When we became Christians, our minds are changed. We have the resources, not our resources, but the resources of the Creator God, seen in the person of Jesus Christ, to be distinctive. You don't need to worry that we haven't got the resources to offer that forgiveness, to be graceful. It's the resources of God which we'll be drawing on. Well, this is teaching right into my life today. I hope right into your lives today as well. So my question is, are we living it out? Do we show grace? Do we exercise forgiveness? As Rob said last week, do we strive to be a bonus to our boss? You know, is that our mindset towards those in authority over us? Well, as I close, I want to look at the outcome of a successful working out of this behaviour towards our bosses. You know, Paul's urging it, but what's the outcome? Why? Why is Paul so passionate about this attitude really being alive in Christians? Well, let's look at verse 8. Read it with me. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. Paul reminds Titus that the people doing good in this way has an outcome that is profitable for everyone. That is why he's urging it. Again, back to our book on managing up, Roseanne's advice. And the promised outcome is rapid promotion through your organisation, but it is profitable really only to yourself. You know, the profit of managing up well is all about you in Roseanne's book. The impact of God's teaching on a good behaviour, a good mindset towards your boss, has an outcome here which we're told is for everyone. Yeah, that's what Paul's promising. I guess that includes a harmonious working environment, a culture of respect, a reduction in vicious office politics. But something else, way, way more important than that. Look at Paul's final remarks in verse 14. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. If we know Paul's letters well, we know that the produce that he's talking about, productivity, when Paul's talking about it, is the most important work of all, to see people come to have their faith in the saving work of Jesus. That's the productivity that Paul's talking about. And it should be our motivation as well, to see those around us becoming Christians, having trust in the work of Jesus Christ. We can tell those who work around us about grace. That's a great thing to do. It's a brilliant thing to tell people about grace, but we can show that. We can show what it looks like by being distinctive, by standing out, really by forgiving those in authority over us, being graceful, being a bonus to our boss. And in doing that, we are witnessing the grace of God. And we're doing it by living good lives at work. That is productivity here on earth that echoes into eternity. Well, that's the masterclass over. Let's pray together. Father God, we come before you this afternoon knowing that we struggle to show grace, love, forgiveness, humility to those in authority over us. And we'll all struggle in different ways, each of us here this afternoon. And this message in Titus 3 completely shifts our minds around. And we pray that your resources would be in us to live radically different lives, to be distinctive, to witness the grace of God in our workplaces. But it is often so difficult that we cry out for your help to be able to do it. And we do it for your glory. Amen.